Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohlig right here on LA Talk Radio.
You are indeed, and this week I am Michael Sterling.
You are Michael Sterling.
I am.
You're a little.
Who are you?
You're a little verklempt, Mike. Not verklempt, but you're a little, as I said, verhuddled. One of my wife's favorite words.
Verhuddled.
Verhuddled. Too many plates spinning. It's Yiddish origin. Too many balls in the air.
Yeah. Too much going on this week.
Yeah.
I'm opening Tarzan the musical. I'm doing this. I've been doing Broadway World TV things, and
I have an affection for Tarzan the musical because I live in Tarzana, as you know,
which
a lot of people don't know. The name is because it's Edgar Rice Burroughs' old ranch, Tarzana Ranch.
Right.
He
did
it. He was a hippie, you know.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was, pre-hippie, pre-beatnik even. He was all into free love and drugs and all that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Things that we don't
know anything
of. I was
born in the wrong time, Michael. I was born in the wrong time.
Oh, really? We're going to go there?
We are.
Okay. I think we might thank our sponsors. How about
Let's do that.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And Paul, what a great show we've got today. We've got guests.
Three guests.
Yeah, coast to coast.
Yeah.
And starting with the ridiculously talented and gorgeous Beth Malone, a 2015 Tony Award nominee for Best Leading Actress in the musical Fun Home, which garnered 5 Tony Awards this past Sunday, including Best Musical.
And in studio, we got another gorgeous gal with us, as Eileen Graff from Broadway and TV's Heart of Dixie, not to mention the classic Mr. Belvedere series. She's going to be talking about something she's doing locally. Get to see
Absolutely.
Live.
And to add to some serious swag to today's show, yes, we've been getting gushing emails all morning about him. Hold on to your pearls, girls, because he's really here in person. We booked him, Dano.
Did you really just do that joke?
I'm sick. Hawaii 5-0's super cool, super talented Scott Kahn is in the house. Thank you for that.
You like that?
Yes, indeed.
That work okay for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And of course, all of our guests will be talking about their current theatrical endeavors on the stage right here. Well, two here and one obviously in New York. But thank you all for coming. Lovely to have you on the show. We're very grateful.
Thanks for having
us. Yeah, absolutely, Scott. Eileen, thank you. Let's get into it, right?
Yeah.
Should we go right to the sinus infection, or should we start with something?
Scott, he's starting.
Turns
with me,
out Mr. Kahn might be a bit of a germaphobe.
A little bit.
I'm good. I wouldn't do that to anybody.
No, I've had so many sinus infections in my life. I've had my nose broken, so it's no good.
So I'm leaving.
Just
it's
be
been fun.
Just be thankful.
Thanks for having me.
Just be thankful with his honker and my honker that he's the one with the sinus infection and not me, because I would infect the whole room with this thing.
I think you got a beautiful nose, man.
But it's ample. My point is, it's ample.
Our first
I told you what happened. Can I tell you what happened when I was in Italy with the in the mask shop?
What?
With the person who came up to me and said,
you've got 30 seconds here.
I'll tell you real quick. I went to a mask. It was in Venice with my wife, and we went to a mask shop to get the Commedia masks that I love so much, because I have a Roman nose. And I went into the place, and I said, can you get me a Dottore mask, because he's got a Roman nose. And the guy who owns the shop says, no, tu non ha naso di Romano. Tu a naso di turco. So it's like, I don't have a Roman nose, I have a Turkish nose. Okay. And then he goes, per esempio, for example. He's going to go get me one. He comes out with a friggin' gargoyle. he has to go into the land of fantasy to represent my nose. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? I walked away from that real happy, let me tell you.
Well,
you don't look especially happy.
What can I say?
Let's talk to our guests.
I like your nose, just like Scott.
Thank you. Why are we talking about me when we got three?
Absolutely. Let's
here.
Do this.
Let's start with our first.
Our
guest,
first guest, ladies and gentlemen, has been part of Broadway's newest Tony Award-winning musical, Fun Home, through most of its formative stages, including the Sundance Theater Lab and the critically acclaimed run at the Public Theater in New York. She spent much of last year at the Denver Center for the Arts, starring as Molly Brown in the world premiere of a wholly reimagined version of the unsinkable Molly Brown, directed by Kathleen Marshall. Other original Broadway and off-Broadway credits include June Carter Cash in Ring of Fire, Betty Jean in The Marvelous Wonderettes, Allison in Bingo, and Sister Mary Robert in the world premiere of Sister Act here in California at the Pasadena Playhouse. Please welcome Tony Award nominee Beth Malone.
Thank you.
She's there.
Hey,
she's
Beth. You are in New York. Are you
I am.
Relieved that those Tony Awards have gone by and that you guys have risen to the top of the cream there on Broadway?
I'm so relieved.
Yeah.
It's a huge thing to survive the Tony season because you get, this novel. I'm sorry, my phone does this really crazy thing, and it's going to happen perhaps maybe two more times during this conversation.
Okay.
Just so you know.
We'll cover for you. We'll cover.
Cover for me. So, it's a crazy thing to do the whole Tony circus that starts. There's a week of downtime after the nominations come out, and then this calendar arrives, and this calendar kicks in full force with galas and luncheons and interviews and public appearances, and they really just have you running around.
While you're still doing eight shows a week, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was really something, and the first week we were shell shocked. All of us were "This is awful," and then the second week we were getting into the groove, and the third week we're "We got this down." Yeah. What are you doing today? Oh yeah, I had two things. What you have? So it was kind of this amazing experience of being handled, for a month.
Right,
and it really, really was so weird, really is weird.
You know what I loved about you, Beth, that you did on your Facebook page is that when right after you got the telephone call to advise you of the nomination, you posted a picture on Facebook, and what were you doing?
I was picking up dogs.
Taking your dog for a walk.
Was it?
Well, yes, and then what happens when your dog goes for a walk is there are little plastic bags involved, and then I just felt so glamorous. My wife took my picture picking up shit, and I was this is it. This is that glamorous afterlife style you've heard so much about.
Yes,
living it.
They said you were a fool to dream, huh?
Yes, and I was I am fully realized at this moment.
So,
and it was fun.
So now, Beth, are you obviously you're there for at least for a bit of the duration? Do you know how much longer your is an open ended contract, or how long are you going to be in New York City? And or are you free to share that information? What's that?
Be in Fun Home. So I signed a year contract.
Okay.
Initially, but the only thing that I have an out for is if Molly Brown goes. To another regional theater, to another production, in a parallel to an advanced contract to what Denver Center was, to work on it and then bring it in. That's
gotcha.
The only thing that would let me out, gotcha. And I have to do 9 months before I can get out for that.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right. So people should.
I'll be here a while.
Yes, if one can get a ticket to see her to this,
Well, yeah.
I know.
So, sure, they are scarce now.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
In this crazy thing, the Fun Home cast album was the number four album in the country yesterday.
Wow.
We beat Taylor Swift. I mean, not the number one cast album, the number one. I mean, the number four. Selling album in the country yesterday.
What a coincidence, because Taylor Swift is what I play when I'm walking my dog. What are the odds? What are the odds? We want to throw this information out there, make sure we get it out there to see Beth Malone in Fun Home. These are the various and sundry URLs. We have Fun Home funhomebroadway.com. At Twitter, it's Fun Home Musical. And then we have also OMC. Oh, that's the PR.
Yeah.
We'll just stick with Fun Home Broadway and Fun Home Musical.
Well, also, they can go, of course, to telecharge.com or by calling 212-239-6200 or in person at the Circle in the Square Theater box office, which, of course, is where the show is being presented, Tuesday at 7 p.m., Wednesday at 8 p.m., Wednesday and Saturday at 2 p.m., and Sunday at 3 p.m. So don't miss this, folks, this is the musical of the season. And get your tickets as quickly as you can.
Thank you so much, Beth. We have two other folks here in studio here today who are sitting here patiently joining us, and we know you have a full dance card. So we want to thank you for taking at least a little time to be with us on the air today, and we're very grateful.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
No, you got a lot going on.
Good hearing your voice.
Hey, Beth, before you go, because we have just a couple minutes more with her, Paul,
okay.
I wanted to ask you, would you tell the audience about the synopsis? Give them a brief synopsis of Fun Home for those that aren't familiar with it and would like to come and see you in New York.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very unique subject matter for a musical. It is about a lesbian cartoonist, Alison Bechdel, and Fun Home is based on a graphic novel. That is something everyone should run out and get and read because it's amazing. But it is based on a cartoonist writing a graphic novel about her gay dad's suicide and trying to make sense of it 20 years later. So it all takes place in memory. So as I'm excavating the events from my past, they come alive and I watch my young self and my father, and I watch my college age self and my father, and all of these different memories of how we were together and how we were mysteries to each other. Because Alison, when she came out, her father killed himself, and so she's trying to figure out if he killed himself because she came out or. Did it have nothing to do with her, And so it's a very strange subject matter for a musical, and it's very hard. Thank God we won the Tony, because it's really hard to sell it.
It's also presented in The Round, of course, which is something else to take the matter of the audiences. But it makes it very intimate and personal.
And also beautifully encapsulated in what was done at the Tony Awards, too. That young lady who shared the stage with you, Beth, remind me of her name?
Sydney Lucas.
Yeah, she was wonderful. 11 years old, right?
Yeah, that's she's stunning. Amazing. She's an astounding actress.
Yeah, really, really
very
beautiful. Really
beautiful. Advanced.
Well, for you, on a personal note, I know that you had a very interesting relationship with your own father, so a lot of this must have rung home for you, right?
Yeah, it's been a very interesting, therapy session for me to rehearse this thing for 4 years and get to just keep processing and processing and processing this emotional content of this play. It's different from mine, but the thing about Fun Home is it's enormously universal. So it is all about the ways we miss each other. Like you're in these relationships with your family and your mysteries to each other, and you're trying to connect like crazy, and that opportunity comes up, and sometimes you just can't make it happen. And then you're looking back at those relationships. When it's too late, going, what happened that day? Why did I fail in that moment? And so that is, I think, something we all share as humans, and I think it's very, very gut wrenching, and that's why people
and why it's appealing to so many people. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's very, very, very emotional show. People are just devastated when they leave a lot, and we've gotten a lot of crazy. Right. Emails, as you can imagine, about how we're changing their lives and freeing people to make those hard phone calls with their family. That it's just been very. It's been more than a play. It's been very intense.
That's what theater is supposed to do. It's supposed to change your life. Just the experience of seeing it, whatever it's about. But, ladies and gentlemen, your chance to see it, of course, at Circle in the Square Theater. Beth Malone, thank you for taking time out of your day.
Thank you, Beth.
We look forward to seeing you on this coast soon, I hope.
Yeah, me too. I'd love to take it and sit it down in L.A. and live in my own house.
Yeah, that would be nice. All right.
Yeah. Thank you
much
so much.
Much love to you.
Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks you.
So much. What a lovely person.
She is a lovely
old friend of yours, right?
Yeah, for a long time.
Really enjoyed it.
She's been through a lot.
One thing that I saw Fun Home, and it's remarkable, and I don't think people should be put off by all the serious talk about the show and the gut-wrenching and the emotional. That's true. It's also very funny and very entertaining at the same time. The music is great. The band is right there. You see the band.
Yeah.
They're a great bunch of musicians. The songs are terrific. And you do get very emotionally involved, but you are absolutely entertained at the same time. So they really, they hit the balance just right.
Nice. I think that's, she made a good point, is that when the subject matter is heavy like that, it's a hard thing to, in part, just describe because you can't give it all the layers.
Right.
Thank you for mentioning
exactly.
that. Our next guest, writer, director, and actor, has starred in numerous major motion pictures and written, directed, and starred in several plays, many of which have received acclaim from critics and industry peers alike. He currently stars as Danny Dano Williams on CBS's updated Hawaii Five-0. Prior to that, audience last saw him as a series regular Scott Lavin in the hit HBO series Entourage. He was last seen on the silver screen in the Patrick Hulk directed IFC film Mercy, which he also penned and co-produced, and wrote Two Wrongs, directed by Missy Yeager and produced by Mike O'Malley, which opened in Los Angeles to rave reviews. He starred in Steven Soderbergh's Ocean's 13, reprising his role as a wisecracking Turk Malloy, which he played in Ocean's 11 and Ocean's 12, along with our friend Eddie Jemison.
That's right.
In another one of the 13. No stranger to the theater stage as a playwright and an actor, he not only stars in, but has penned the romantic comedy The Trouble We Come From, directed by Matt August, which officially opens tomorrow night, Friday, June 12th, at Gary Marshall's Falcon Theater in beautiful downtown Toluca Lake. Please welcome Scott Kahn.
Welcome, Scott.
Thank
How
you.
Are you?
Good, man. Thanks for having me here.
Scott, I was looking through your bio that Michael provided
you
to me.
You just read the whole thing.
I just read the whole thing. I did. We're out of time. But thanks
Thank
for doing
you.
This.
Yeah.
I was astounded at how much, you know, when you only know someone, I've never met you before today, and when you know someone just from their work on a television show, one of the great things about doing this show is we get to find out about the different layers of performers. You've done a tremendous amount of writing. What was first, the actor or the writer?
Acting first. Yeah. I started studying at a place called Playhouse West, and I think it was like 1994. And
he's telling me to come closer. Just
sorry.
I started studying at the Playhouse, and there wasn't really a time to stay or a time to leave. You could stay as long as you wanted, and I ended up just staying for a really long time. And you know, we'd put up plays there, and that's pretty much where I started writing because it really came from having a hard time getting the rights or getting the right cast that was at the theater to put up the plays that we were working on. So I just started writing stuff for the people that I was working with. And
Is it a little bit of a battle for you when you hand your baby over to a director, especially when you're performing in it? If the director has an idea or a take on the character that maybe wasn't one of the things that you had envisioned when you created that person,
Sure. Yeah, it's really tough, and I haven't done it. With the play, I did it with Missy Yeager, but I wasn't in the play, so it was different, and I was able to sit back. But it's definitely difficult. But Matt August is fantastic, and I trust him. And you know, we did a workshop about 4 months ago, and after the workshop, I realized that he knew how to make this thing work. So
yeah, okay.
Like I said, I think it's really important to get with someone that you trust and respect, he's really been fantastic. So I do listen to him. I argue, but I listen.
Yeah. And you've worked at the Falcon before. You did another show there a little while back.
Yeah, we did a play called the No Way Around But Through.
Okay.
That Val Lauren directed, and Melanie Griffith was in it, and Robin Cohen and Brie Blair.
Oh, okay. 2 years ago, maybe?
I think it was two or three. Oh, yeah.
And you wrote that one as well?
I did.
Oh, okay. And for the for this one here, can you give sort of a little bit? I always hate to people to do too much of a synopsis because I worry that people could accidentally interpret something. And so, thank you for saying what you did, Eileen. But can you give a little bit of a
synopsis?
Yeah,
Eileen, if I mess this up, you got my back.
Absolutely, always, forever.
You know, he says it's funny, but I saw it.
Yeah. Okay. It's basically about a guy who finds out that he's having his first child with his girlfriend that he's not married to, and he basically has to man up over this one night where he is he's approached by all three of his significant ex-girlfriends in one night.
Okay.
And the play takes place at his house and then back at the theater where all of these girls approach him. It's opening night of his own play,
And the lead actor in his play comes over after the show, and he basically tells his friend what's gone down over the last 24 hours. So the play bounces back and forth from the story that he's telling to his run-ins with these three women. And it's basically about him getting through all of this to ultimately get to his to the woman that he's going to have this child with. And
it's almost like a Christmas carol.
It's exactly like a Christmas carol.
Oh, it's exactly like a Christmas carol.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Scrooge was pregnant, it would be just like a Christmas carol.
Very cool. Very cool.
Now, that was the template.
When you do stuff like that, do you write like with your narrative when you bounce back and forth like that? When you first set pen to paper, did you write the... Do you write the narrative sequentially, or do you write it with the flashbacks in it? I'm always curious about
how originally I wrote the play. It was two characters telling a story, and then I had another two characters playing the characters as younger versions of themselves.
Okay.
Because it's also about growing up, and it's also about thinking like a kid and then thinking like an adult. So there was originally 12 characters or 11 characters in this play, and Matt August, we sat down at the workshop, and the first thing he said is, all right, the first thing we're going to do is make this a four-person play. So I, of course, thought he was crazy, but it was a completely different idea. I mean, the idea was the same, but the setup was different.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that answered your question, and if it didn't, I'm sorry. We're going to have to move on.
I'm sorry. I'm so thrown out. Now that we all have sinus infections, I'm really just...
Let's get back to that, man.
No,
it's okay.
That'll be Scott's
I never met the guy. He comes in, shakes my hand, and goes, I was in the hospital last night. I just got to tell you. But it's not the flu. Don't worry. It's just a sudden.
But you know, all things considered, Scott, I think the hazmat suit is a bit much.
It's a lot.
You know, you could pull it off, but still.
Yeah.
And he just happened to have it.
He also offered me a sip of his water from his.
Man, you're getting me in trouble, dude.
I'm kidding. No, I just have opening night tomorrow night, but it's all right. Give me a kiss.
I'll be there if anything goes wrong. I'll be there.
Thank you.
It's one of the other shows on I Like Talk Radio. We've talked.
I saw that.
They do
for this one, Scott. Wow. For The Trouble We Come From. Mm-hmm. Any without prying, and if I am prying, tell me to shut up. Any causal event? Any personal event that inspired this? Is it just a
Man? Look, I mean, everything in there is 100% accurate and 0% at the same time. You know, all of this stuff did happen, and all of it didn't happen. I don't know if that's fair to say, or if that's kind of being in the middle somewhere, but I was doing a play, a small play at Playhouse West, and you know, not this exact same thing happened, but I did find out that I was having my first kid, and my only kid, I think, and I remember sitting outside with my buddy Val Lorne, and there were a bunch of women that I'd known from my past. Now, they weren't the significant girlfriends of my life, but they were women that were, you know, I spent time with, and Val and I got to talking, and it was just a trip thinking about how it, you know, we always used to invite women to our plays and invite people that we knew to the plays that we were putting up because we thought it was a cool way for us to also, you know, get a date afterwards, you know.
Right.
And it's funny how we were just kind of looking at that and seeing how it's changed, and that's sort of where the idea sparked, and that's why. Originally, the idea was that these other two guys would play younger versions of Val and myself.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because it was a play that Val directed that I had written, that two young people that were actually students of Val's were doing the play. So
right.
It was, I guess it was art imitating life.
When you do something like that and you workshop something and the director steps in and goes, okay, we're going to make this a 12-person play down to a 4-person play, I'm always curious about that process and, were there... Like, one of the things that I notice when I write is that if I take out a big chunk or something, mm-hmm. and no patchwork is required to fill that hole, it was never meant to be there in the first
place.
Sure,
that's fair.
And when you change the geography, basically, and it went from a 12-person to a 4-person, was there a lot of stitching that you had to do, or did it seem a real natural progression for the piece?
That's a good question. No, there wasn't a lot of stitching. I mean, ultimately, there was stitching all over the place anyway.
As there will be.
Yeah. But no, not really, because it was really just a matter of figuring out how do we do this on one set with two actors playing the storytellers and the people that are in the story that we're telling.
Right,
so
right.
That was
rather
tough.
Than commenting on it from the outside.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, there was, you know, there was patchwork, but not heavy because of what we did.
Okay, all right, yeah. Because it can be, and there will always be putting it little bits together just from restaging. But I'm always curious. One of the other things we get to talk about here is when something goes through a workshop process and things like that. I'm always curious about that journey and how you arrive at this. And obviously, you're happy with the result.
I am very happy.
It's a better 4-person play than it would have been a 12-person play.
Well, we'll never know, but I think so. Yeah.
Good point.
I really enjoyed it. I'd never done it before. I'd never done a proper workshop with, you know, I had such a, I've been part of a theater group, Playhouse West, for 15, almost 20 years, and everything we do is just us.
Right.
So we don't really have a lot of outside opinions, which is good and bad, you know. So I really wanted to reach out to somebody with this play like Matt. And say, look, I think I want to see how I can collaborate with someone like you or someone outside of our circle and see what we've come up with. And that's where we are. So,
do you like writing, or do you write because you have to?
No, I like writing more than I like acting. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Sure.
Okay.
No one's going to pay me to write, though. Not right now. Anyway.
Oh, we're working on that.
And to that, may I add, what is your preference? I mean, television has done well by you, and vice versa, and films. And
there's no comparison as far as what feels better. But
right.
One of them pays the bills, and one of them doesn't.
Of course,
and,
yeah.
I mean, it's apples and oranges, man. Yeah. You know,
but the truth is in theater. You know, it's that 1 second in time that'll never be seen again.
Sure.
So, you know, that beat by beat, we talk about that often, too. Which is the magic of theater.
And the immediacy. The immediacy of response.
Exactly. You know,
having that right there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. Interrupt me. Go ahead. I was done.
Speaking of paying the bills, Michael, would you alert people on how they can attend this thing?
I will, indeed. As we said earlier, it opens officially tomorrow, Friday, June 11th, and it will run through the final date of June.
July. Here, sit down with your sinus infection. I got it. Give me the piece of paper.
Neosinephrine, would like us to say,
You know, this print is small on this particular piece of paper, but it runs through, July 12th, as Scott just pointed out, and it is very modestly priced, and that's the beauty about theater in Los Angeles. You can see somebody like Scott in a play and not have to,
wouldn't buy you a drink.
Not have to mortgage your home. So it is at the Falcon Theater, 4252 Riverside Drive in beautiful Toluca Lake / Burbank. And the Falcon Theater web address for tickets is falcontheater.com, or you may call for tickets at 818-955-8101.
We should also say that Falcon Theater has the RE spelling, falcontheater.com, and this area of Toluca Lake, I'm telling you, and this is another thing we push when we talk about theater here in town. It's one of those areas in town you can go, you can park, there's about two dozen different restaurants you can walk to from that area. And that's big out here because it's not like New York, Chicago, take a cab someplace. There's a great Thai place right around the corner.
Yeah.
There's that great Irish pub just up the street.
And Bob's Big Boy,
Paddy's. Really good Argentinian food. There's a good sushi restaurant. It's really, over the last 10 years, it's been something else. The
it's great.
Great.
No, it really is. And it's just, and we always push that because you push the evening, not just
park
the show.
Park and walk.
Yeah. Because you know as well as I do, getting people in their car. Anyone who's produced live theater in L.A. knows getting people to get back in their cars on a Friday afternoon is one of God's great mysteries.
It is a commitment.
If you don't like the play, there's good food is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. You want to say it. You know.
You can leave and get dinner.
Yeah. That's right. Right. Just be quiet.
Don't even think about it,
just
folks.
Just be quiet.
The trouble we come from. All right. And I'm going to be there tomorrow night, so I look forward to seeing you.
I look forward to seeing you, and we will have a surgical mask for you at the front door.
Okay. Really?
No.
Okay.
He's the reviewer in the plastic bubble. That's actually Scott's next play.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
The radio personality in the plastic bubble.
It's been quite a week for me.
This is how we, my family, we bust balls if we love you. So.
Okay. Oh, then I feel so much better. She'll get on to our next guest.
Yes, would you introduce this?
Yeah, I'd be so happy to. She's such a lovely lady and a longtime friend of mine too. Best known as the mom on the long running TV comedy Mr. Belvedere. On Broadway, she created the role of Cleo in the Cy Coleman Michael Stewart musical I Love My Wife. on which we have a track from. We're going to play a little bit of that, Paul, at some point here.
Oh, yes.
During the
Love
interview.
Revolution? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, yeah. The Love Revolution. She also played Sandy in the original production of Grease and was a pit singer and played the role of Fran Kubelik, for that role in Promises, but she actually did some performances of that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. As part of her extensive television career, she co-starred with Glenn Close in the Disney film version of South Pacific and recently recurred on the CW's Heart of Dixie. Her Grammy nomination was for her album Baby's Broadway Lullaby. And she has performed her sellout cabaret show, First You Dream, on both coasts in clubs such as Birdland in New York and, this club, Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. Pretty good spot.
It's a lovely spot.
Love it. Great place. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
It's in the NoHo Arts District of North Hollywood. But she's here today to talk about her all-new concert, It's Better With a Band, a family affair, if you will, on stage at the Catalina Jazz Club, one night only, Wednesday, June 24th. Please welcome the lovely and talented Eileen Graff.
Thank you, Michael. Oh, thank you, everyone. Thank you. You're too kind.
Well, you brought them.
They kind of stopped applauding abruptly. There's fade. Can't you fade it out?
Or something? We don't pay him enough.
Yeah. Michael's ready for me to get a couple of new sound bites. It was the same applause for 5 years of shows.
You need to get on that.
Speaking
Paul.
Of that, 5 years. This is our
5 years.
We're 2 years into our first
two shows in. Well, I'm glad we're starting it with such illustrious
distinguished talent. Yes, like this.
Very much so.
So, Eileen, tell us about this new act. And I know you've got your beautiful daughter, who's also a Broadway star, and your husband, of course, who you met back in Greece.
When we were doing Greece. Well, time was when we would go and sing someplace in a club or a concert or a benefit or a telethon or whatever, there was always like a big band.
Mm-hmm.
Always. You'd go in, you'd have tons of musicians, and then that just started going away until now there's no bands anymore when you go do these things. Or like when we, at your beautiful club, it's Ben, my husband Ben Lanzaroni, who's my musical director, writes all the arrangements. He's a ASCAP award-winning composer. It's just the two of us, and I started feeling kind of bad. I said, I want to hear these charts one more time before I die.
Mm.
So we're going to do an evening, and we're going to pick the songs that we do that we like the arrangements of the best.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of the old favorites that everybody loves and has heard before, and there's going to be some songs that we've never done in L.A. because we've never done a big band show in L.A. So we've got some new material that people haven't heard before. And yes, indeed, Nika Graff Lanzaroni will be coming out from New York. She does Broadway Bears, which is one of the biggest.
What was that name that you just threw out there?
Nika Graff Lanzaroni.
Nika Graff Lanzaroni. Yeah. That's a name.
She uses all the names.
Wow.
She is a beauty.
All the names.
On top of it.
She's a doll.
Dancer, singer.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah, she does everything. Yeah. So she's got Broadway Bears on Sunday night, where she's in, which is a great, huge fundraiser for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS.
And a pretty sexy one.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I every year I see the pictures and I go, that's my girl. But then again, she also was in Peep Show in Las Vegas.
She was, wasn't she?
Yeah. She's fearless. She's absolutely fearless. So she'll be hopping on a plane and coming out. She's going to do a song with me at Catalina's. So she's a good girl. I said, could you please come? Would you please come? She said, all right, I'll come. She said it. I'd be delighted to come.
Of course you would. You're her mom. And we had her at Sterling's when you were last there for me. So we love that.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful show, Paul. And let's let our listeners hear a little bit of Eileen's beautiful singing. This is It's from I Love My Wife.
Right. This is from the original cast album of I Love My Wife, which was written by Michael Stewart and Cy Coleman. Mm. So what's great when you originate a show in a Broadway musical is that everything sort of starts getting tailored around what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were in rehearsal for this, I told Cy, I would like something high and fast and hard. And he said, okay, here you go.
Wait a minute. That sounds like a comment somebody in Hollywood would make.
Stop that. Difficult.
Okay, there you go. Just
and this and the
you could almost hear the eyes roll.
This, piece was,
and the what?
And the time period of this piece.
Oh, right. This takes place in the 1970s. It's about two couples in Trenton, New Jersey, who are 10 years out of high school and married, and decide that the swinging world is passing them by, and that they want to swap partners.
Okay.
That's the premise of the show.
Okay, let's give it a listen, shall we?
I'm in.
A little sample.
You missed my high note.
Well, they'll have to pay to go see
that's
that.
That's right. You can hear my high note.
It's okay. We'll have you play us off the air, too, at the end of the show.
Okay.
We'll come back with the high note.
Okay.
The high hard note.
It's the high hard note. Difficult, Paul. Difficult.
Sorry. Back over again.
You know, it's kind of, it was kind of a fun, cool beat, right?
Yeah.
Scott
was getting
into it.
Cy Coleman was a master of all things musical. You know, he started as a classical pianist as a child prodigy and was a very accomplished jazz piano player and composer. And I Love My Wife was the first show that he did where he decided he wanted to cover lots of different musical styles within the show. So we had a country tune, we had jazz, we had a vaudeville tune, we had this one, which is sort of like straight ahead, early Broadway pop rock.
Yeah.
For want of a better name. And there was romantic. There was he just loved challenging himself style-wise. And I don't think anybody did it better than he did.
Yeah. When you have something like this in the show, when you were saying that the deciding factor were the arrangements that you like, how do you structure that together as an evening? Is there a narrative? Do you introduce each thing, or is there a story, or do you just
Well, we're not doing it like a set. It's not a set where we're going from song to song to song.
Okay.
I kind of explain the genesis of these arrangements. And there's much more emphasis on that than there is, you know, like in my regular cabaret show, it's a lot. And then I did this, and then I did that. This is more about, well, we were working on this particular project, and we needed a song, so this is what we came up with, and this is Ben's arrangement. And so it's more explaining how the actual pieces came to be than my life story, which I'm really kind of tired of right now.
It's such an interesting one, though.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay.
I like it.
I cannot complain. I have a great life. I've done everything I wanted to do. But the thing that I love to do more than anything is sing, and it's what I started doing, and that's what I grew up doing. And at this point in my life, to have the luxury of saying, this is what I want to do, I want to sing, and I want to have a bunch of musicians, and I want to play my husband's charts that I love, what a great gift to be able to give yourself and hopefully to everybody else.
Did you and Ben encourage your daughter to sing and to dance and to get in, or was that just natural?
You know, she grew up in it, and she was talented, and from the earliest age, she was bugging me, I want an agent, I want this. And I said, you can't have an agent until you can drive yourself to auditions. But it was pretty apparent from a young age that this was what she was going to do. She was built right for it. She had she had dancer feet from when she was a baby, and she could always carry a tune. And she just always loved it. She loved being in shows. And that's what she still loves more than anything, is just being in a show.
You know, it's interesting. I would like to actually take that same question and ask you that, Scott. Did your father encourage you to perform? Did he push you toward it? Push you away from it?
Away from it.
Really?
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 Yeah. Yeah, he was hoping to play shortstop for the Yankees or something.
And do any of your other siblings act?
No. Yeah. My brother Alex is actually just joined Playhouse West about a year ago.
Oh,
so
okay.
He's getting into it now. He's talented, interesting.
Yeah. Just always curious about that when there's acting within one family.
Well, yeah. I have a lot of people in my family that are in show business. My dad was a singer, and I was the first one of my generation, but my cousin Randy Graff is a Tony Award winner for City of Angels, which was also a Cy Coleman
and
show.
She's so wonderful.
She's great. My brother Todd was nominated for a Tony for his role in Baby. And my cousin Lori was a very successful actress. And
isn't Todd also a director?
Oh, yeah. Well, he doesn't perform anymore. He writes and directs movies.
Right.
Yeah.
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 So it's rampant.
It's all over.
In the family.
It's all, yeah. They're everywhere.
You know what I love about Eileen? She's very supportive of causes such as the mm-hmm. Actors Fund. We mm-hmm. were at the gala thing the other night, the Tony Awards viewing party, and was there. I'm sorry we missed you. I saw you, but
I didn't see you at all.
Yeah, you were coming down the red carpet, and something happened, and I mean, I was interviewing people, and then I didn't see you. So sorry.
I
love talking to you.
Yeah, I know. It's a great event. The Actors Fund, of course, is a nonprofit social service organization mm-hmm. that provides help to any entertainment professional in need. It's called the Actors Fund, but it's for everybody: dressers, grips, writers, musicians, accordion players, ventriloquists. It doesn't matter. If you are an entertainment professional in need, you can come to the Actors Fund for help. And the Tony Awards viewing party, which was just past Sunday, is one of our major fun events of the year.
It was fun. Yeah.
It's the only live feed of the Tonys on the West Coast.
Star-studded, too.
And so nice to have Tim Curry there being honored, and Alfred Molina.
Yeah, and Theo Bickel.
Theodore Bickel, my gosh.
And Joe Morton.
Joe Morton.
Yeah.
The awesome Joe Morton.
My grandfather used to deliver mail to Theodore Bickel in New York City.
Aww. Did he?
My grandfather was a mailman there, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
I rub elbows with all the big names. We're talking to Eileen Graff at Sky.com, but we want to put this information out there as well. It's Better With a Band is going up Wednesday, June 24th at 8:30 p.m. at the Catalina Jazz Club. And you can find out all that you need to know by going to CatalinaJazzClub.com. It's CatalinaJazzClub.com. And once again, we will throw that information out there one more time before the end of the hour.
And aside from the song that we played for you, you know, she's got an amazing set list here. Where or When, you know, got a Lullaby on Broadway, Rain or Shine, Can't Take My Eyes Off of You. The Story Goes On. Together, wherever we go, you just do them all.
We're all over the place in this show because we didn't have that through line that we usually do of a story. So it literally was, oh, I love that chart. I haven't heard it for so long. Let's do that one. Oh, yeah, I haven't done. Yeah, let's do this one. So it's fun that we're kind of all over the place.
I love your rendition of How Do You Keep the Music Playing.
Yeah.
Beautiful song.
Yeah, that's without the band.
Okay. Nice.
That's the only one without the band.
Well, we have come to that.
Oh, it's that time.
Yeah.
It's that time,
Should we give
Michael?
Stats on the tickets and stuff?
It's the tickets? What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean to go to Catalina.
Oh, you want me to do it again? I just did it.
Well, let's do it one more time.
Didn't you join me?
Yeah, because we have about 30 seconds.
Weren't you here with us? CatalinaJazzClub.com. It's CatalinaJazzClub.com. And while we're doing URLs, FalconTheater.com to see The Trouble We Come From, written by Scott Kahn and directed by Matt August. Falcon Theater, Theater with the RE, and CatalinaJazzClub.com. Okay, it's that time, Michael.
We are baptizing you.
Ask our guests to share a tale of woe, something that went wrong during performance, whether film, TV, stage, awkward, embarrassing, if there was injury, that's even funnier. What do you got? You got one for us, Ken?
Or you? Sure. I don't have one that stands out really horrible, but I have a funny one, and it actually turned out really good. We were doing a play called 9/11. It was about the World Trade Center. and Mark Pellegrino. I don't know if you know Mark Pellegrino is?
I know who he is, yes.
Fantastic actor. Yeah. And his line is, he's explaining to someone who doesn't know what happened, what went down in New York. And he, at the end of his, whatever he's saying, he says, you know, there's not a single airplane in the sky right now. And we were doing the show in Burbank, and it was a Sunday night. And he said, there's not a single airplane in the sky right now. And on cue, you just hear. Oh. But this is how good Mark is. The second it happened, he paused and he went, except that. And the house went nuts. And it was a testament to how in the moment and great Mark Pellegrino is. But So that came to mind.
That's good.
But that's not a disaster.
No.
But yeah. Later that night, I got into a car accident. So, no, I'm kidding. I just wanted to add some injury to it.
Just to make you happy. Yeah.
Later in that night, I got a sinus infection.
Yeah, later that night. First of many. He did it, not me.
Oh, Eileen, where do you go?
I was doing Promises on the Road, and there's a scene in a doctor's office where somebody actually has a cold and assigned it one of the characters. And we have a set piece that flies in, just a very simple backdrop kind of thing that looks like the doctor's office. And my scene partner, Ted Pugh, and I are doing this little scene that leads into a song, and all of a sudden we feel the set piece start going, waving in the wind, back and forth, and nobody in the audience is laughing, and it wasn't funny yet. It wasn't entertaining yet. We were just exchanging information, and we turned around and saw that the doctor's office was just about to fall down and hit us on the head. So we got up, we walked away, and we said to the audience, we'll be right back. They fixed it, and proceeded.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It was pretty funny. I mean, we were never in danger because we saw that it was going to happen. But it
did
was
the funny. Audience?
They loved it. They loved it.
Of course they would.
They loved it.
They always do, you know? It's like they talk about that on when they did the Saturday Night Live thing, the 40th anniversary recently, and they did that whole song called And That's When You Break, you know, about how when they break on the show, when they laugh or something.
I love it, man. They talked about how Lauren doesn't like it or they get upset. They're my favorite moments.
No, and if you look at the old clips, you look at things like, I mean, who started it? It was Harvey Korman Tim Conway on the Carol Burnett show. And I would bet you that anyone who is looking on YouTube or whatever for Carol Burnett clips, I would bet that looking for the bloopers and the mistakes and them breaking up are far more a search than the actual show.
But even when they're not bloopers, I feel like sometimes it's almost dishonest not to laugh. You know what I mean? Right. Something happens, it's that funny, and you're holding it in. You're immediately, you know, you're taking me out of it. It's too funny not to laugh.
No, it's just you can't. My friend Ted Coach, great actor in New York, Ted Coach, and my friend Kevin Tice, a great actor in Chicago, were doing Curse of the Starving Class, and he just did a great Sam Shepard piece, and he has to just say, look, buddy, and say something, and then he hands over the money. He's buying the family farm. The family farm is going up in smoke, and it's all done very, very slow motion, just handing over this money. So he says, look, buddy, and then he hands over the money. But Ted said one night, lick, buddy. And that was it.
That's
it. With the slow motion handover of the money, where you got to look that guy directly in the eyes, he said they were just puddles by the end of it. And it's Sam Shepard. It's hard to make Sam Shepard funny.
Very hard.
You know?
Great.
I'll figure it out.
That'll be your next one.
If anyone can.
What a pleasure this has been.
Absolutely. And we want to play some more of Eileen on the way out.
Well, we only have about 31 seconds left of it, but we will.
Yeah, that's okay.
How much do you need?
But before we can just loop
it. You can go live, right?
Just loop it. We'll just keep looping it. But before we go, Michael, let's throw this information out there a third time because we can't encourage this enough. We're talking about two shows here today. Actually, talking about three shows today because we're talking about Fun Home as well with Beth Malone in New York City on The Great White Way. But the other show is The Trouble We Come From, written by and featuring Scott Kahn and directed by Matt August, which opens tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. That's at the Falcon Theater. Tickets, 818-955-8101 or falcontheater.com, theater with the R-E spelling.
And it runs through July 12th.
Yes. And Eileen's info, you got that one at the ready? It's easy to remember.
I do, indeed. It's at Catalina Jazz Club in the heart of Hollywood. And it's such a wonderful place, by the way, and a cool venue. And you can simply go to, CatalinaJazzClub.com. And they've got it all set up.
It's just that easy.
Yeah, very much so.
Folks, what a pleasure having both of you
on.
Thank you for making the time.
Two class acts.
And,
thank you.
And we're going to finish up with a little more of the Love Revolution, shall we?
Yes.
Let's do that.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.